If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor, doctor, Mr. MD, doctor, now can you tell me what's ailing me, doctor? He said,
welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here in Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. We're here to do that. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. We had a great show. Frank, you ready? Oh, Frank's ready. We're going to be talking about how you can avoid immune system saboteurs, because we're coming up to the cold and flu season. If you want to really protect immunity and watch out for what could sabotage your immune system and make you more vulnerable to get sick, we're going to cover that. And we have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees and I'm seeking the Lord's face, and I'm minding the time, because it grows short. And we're in Deuteronomy 6, and it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all thy might." There's nothing less. God expects the best. He wants the cream of the crop. Are you up for the challenge? If you are, seek the Lord's face. Get in the scripture, pray, talk with him daily, and accept his invitation, because it does have an expiration date. He is a coming back soon, and after he comes back, that's it. You missed your chance. So don't do that. You wanna spend all of eternity in the right place. Yeah, trust me, you do. So read the scripture and ask the Lord to open your heart and your mind to understand. Yep, and He'll hear you. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, first up in the quack report, we're going to talk about. That's a little bit on the macabre side. We'll ease into that one. California legalizes. Oh, I don't want to read that one either. Well, I'm sorry. It's just nasty stuff. I apologize to anybody out there if this is really going to be upsetting to you. Okay, organ factories. Israel is, they have a company in Israel developing artificial wombs. They call it artificial womb technology to synthetically grow human embryos for the purpose of organ harvesting. So with the abortion laws changing, science is coming up, they're a step ahead here, with artificial wombs to grow and harvest human parts. So the Israel firm Renewable Bio has created an unlimited amount of embryonic human life in a petri dish, pretty much. Renewable Bio says that they are currently in the process of developing human embryos from stem cells using artificial womb technology. So this company says that the goal is to, their project is to create a steady supply of human baby tissue for organ transplants and other anti-aging procedures. So humans artificially manufactured using stem cells, they still show brain activity and they still feel pain. It's creepy, isn't it? This is wrong. All right, last but not least, and I apologize, this is a little bit on the macabre side. California, you know that thing where people say, hey, once a year the nation tilts, and all the nuts roll to California? Understatement. Apparently, Assembly Bill 351 allows for natural organic reduction. Do you know what that is, Frank? Did you hear about this? California, you're close to California. It's to your south. Did you hear about this? No? Okay. So what it is, natural organic reduction, or NOR for short, it's a law that's going to kick in and be implemented in its fullest by 2027. 2027. Yes, Frank, that's what it is. Frank knows what it is. So what this is, apparently, is California would like us, because of the green energy, the carbon footprint, all this stuff, they say cremation and burial is pushing up those limits, and they want to save planet Earth. So they're saying, in 2027, it's hard for me to even say this, Frank. In 2027, they say you can compost a human body. Don't have to go bury them. You just compost them. The excuse is they want to turn deceased humans into soylent green to save the planet because of the global warming thing. And they're told it's... the global warming thing is harmed by traditional burial and cremation. So unlike cremation, the process avoids the burning of fossil fuels and the emissions of the carbon parts, according to San Francisco Gazette or San Francisco Gate publication. National Geographic estimates that cremations in the United States alone emit about 360,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide a year. Cremation? Yeah, it was. Don't you think that's creepy, Frank? You know, who's going to take a loved one and chuck them into the compost heap? Really? Or whatever that product they recommend. It was something like a... closed container and you put wood chips in it or something, and then eventually within a short amount of time the body decomposes to just soil. What did they call it? Frank goes, you'd be surprised. I am surprised. Creeped out and surprised. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Oh, well, we're back. Did we get disconnected there, Frank? I'm sorry about that. Interesting times we're in. Okay, we're going to be talking about avoiding immune system saboteurs. Okay, we've talked a little bit about this in the past, but we got some more information that's going to kind of impact you in a positive way, not a negative way. We're not here to scare you. We're here to empower you, make you aware and empower you. So there's a big difference there. So just hang tough through the segment. We're coming up to this cold and flu season really quick here. It's going to be especially important for us to avoid some things that will weaken our immune system and lower our resistance to infections. So we also want to avoid anything that accelerates the aging process of your immune system, and that is possible to do. So we want to avoid that. Now, our immunity is our biggest asset. It's our asset of protection, and we have it, and we can't replace it. It's just so perfect by design that God gave us. So there's really nothing man-made that works as efficiently as our immune system for a lifelong immunity. So let's talk about the suppressants, the things that suppress your immune system. If we pay attention, we can narrow down what is suppressing our immunity and remove those threats. So here's kind of a list of things that can interfere with the immune system and cause it not to work properly. Dehydration, if you're not consuming enough clean water. Also, stress, constant stress, you know, holiday stress, financial stress, relationship stress, work-related stress, traumatic stress, or pandemic stress can really impact us, and we're going to talk more about that. Sugar, you know, your craving for sugar can be a problem. Mold, mildew exposure can exhaust an immune system because it's always trying to defend you from it. Fat located around the abdomen area, it's called viscular fat, and it can be a problem. Sleep, inadequate or non-consistent sleep is going to suppress immunity. Tobacco use, alcohol, like frequent daily consumption of alcohol, malnourished, poor diet, as well as inactivity, not getting that daily exercise, food allergies, and vaccines. So vaccines offer really no immunity. They may have some fleeting antibodies, but they're not long-lasting, and it can offer serious health risks. They also suppress the immune system and kind of rob the immune system of making lifelong antibodies, so you want to watch out for that. So we will also focus here on stress in this first part of the show because it plays a really major role in suppressing our immune function, and we want to improve. We want to have some strategies to improve our immune function and reduce our stress levels and help us with our coping mechanisms better. Well, we're going to talk about national stress because stress can be difficult to measure. However, it is clear that in modern society, our lives are stressful. And I get a lot of phone calls, and when I talk to people, they're describing their stress. And it's kind of reflecting what the Bible describes. You know, we live in perilous times. So when we don't know what we can do about a situation, it adds to our stress level. What do we do? What do we do? So according to the American Institute of Stress, the negative form of stress that we encounter can offer people different perspectives. So their definition of negative stress is, stress is physical, mental, or emotional strain or tension. An experience where the person perceives that the demands exceed their capability and are unable to mobilize social resources to help. So that is one major impact of negative stress, how we are perceiving things. So our stress levels actually most often are determined by three components. This is also from the American Institute of Stress. They say we can access stress by distinguishing between an external element, an internal one, and as well as the third component, which is the interaction between the first two factors. So how we internalize and deal with stress, we all handle it differently, don't we? Well, they had some annual stress surveys. This is the Mind Body Health Campaign. They conduct these annual American stress surveys. It's a nationwide thing. And the survey measures stress stimuli and the impact of stress and the behaviors we exhibit when we deal with this kind of stress as a result of it. Now, recently, the survey found that the following stress points in the United States. The price of goods are accelerating. That's stressing people out. Fuel prices going up. Supply chain issues. Global uncertainty and the constant health crisis called the plandemic. So these are things that are all stressing people out, according to the survey. Frank says, have more faith and less stress. Well, yeah, God's on his throne. He's got this. He's in control. Absolutely. And he gives us some tools that we can use to help us in these perilous times. So it's kind of been determined that it's an unusual combination of a lot of the stress factors we just went over that are causing undue stress in a majority of our population, and it's leading to a lot of mental health issues. According to the American Institute of Stress, they say these factors have a substantial impact on the lives of all Americans, and it will continue to do so. It is disrupted work. It has disrupted work, education, healthcare, the economy, and relationships with some groups more negatively impacted than others, end of quote. So we're considering all this fallout of this COVID pandemic. We had really more Americans die than in World War I, Vietnam, and Korean War combined. And this suggests we're kind of at war, doesn't it? And war is a brutal experience on the immune system. War actually produces devastating loss, trauma, and chaos. So it's no wonder people are feeling the effect and being overstressed. So people are not operating on yellow alert. They've been on red alert continually, waiting really for the next shoe to drop. So we're considering this. And here's another quote from the American Institute of Stress. They say, if your stress response doesn't stop firing and these stress levels stay elevated far longer than what is necessary for survival, it can take a toll on your health. They go on to say, the potential long-term consequences of the persistent stress and trauma created by the pandemic are particularly serious for our country's youngest individuals. Quote. So what we have is multiple stress, and Americans are struggling to cope with the disruptions of their daily life. And according to the survey, 8 out of 10 adult Americans said that the pandemic is the significant source of their stress in their life. So this has affected, they said in the survey, body tension. People are more uptight, 21% greater. Negative mood and behaviors, 49% greater. Anger is up 20%. Emotional outbursts up 17%. Suicide, 51% greater. Drug use, 45% greater. Violence, 47% greater. And adult Americans are concerned for the future of their nation, 77% greater. Stress makes people feel emotionally paralyzed, 57% greater. And workers want to quit their job over increased stress, 63% greater. So we've got stress, and people are logging it in when they have these surveys. Now, of the 50 U.S. states, Frank, let me ask you, of the 50 U.S. states, which state do you think would have the highest amount of stress and which the lowest amount of stress? You want to take a guess? Dun, 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 dun. Oh, and I'm trying to think. What? Your state? Close. According to the survey, the least stressed state is what? Hawaii? No. Hawaii. No Hawaii. One more guess, Frank. least Hawaii. No. No. Okay. Never mind. Okay, so the least stressed state was Montana by 26% stress level. And the most stressed state with a 94% stress level is Louisiana. But we do realize this kind of stress we're experiencing in the global pandemic is global stress. We have global stress because, you know, all these countries now are intertwined pretty much with economies and things. Now, there's three stages to stress, according to the American Institute of Stress, and there are three phases to stress. So number one is your alarm stage. These are where your body defenses are mobilized. This affects your hormones, your blood pressure, and your heart rate. Stage two, they call it the stage of resistance. This is a real test on how your body copes with long-term stress and wear and tear. It will also challenge your adaptive mechanisms. And the third stage is called the exhaustive stage. This is where you have no more resources left to keep the defense system running, and death can occur. So there is a point where the immune system can't do any more if we don't protect it. And we're going to get into the protective part here in a minute. Here are some of the symptoms of stress. These are the major indicators that you may be under extreme stress. You may get headaches. You may be depressed or have anxiety. You may be irritable and have mood swings. You may have heartburn or insomnia, rapid breathing, weak immune system, increased heart rate and blood pressure, digestive problems and stomach ache, fertility problems, low sex drive or erectile dysfunction, tense muscles, teeth grinding, menstruation problems, and glandular problems. You know, I know a person who, when they were under a lot of stress, their ear glands would produce too much earwax. So you want to look for subtle signs that your body is functioning differently, indicating you're under a lot of stress. And when we get stress, we can invite disease. And stress disease is a real threat to our current population. So if you do not have a good nutritional resource base to keep your system up and running, we can become vulnerable to a lot of diseases. Therefore, you want to do not stress your liver if you're under stress. Don't stress your kidneys. Don't do that with drugs and alcohol in an attempt to deal with the stress. That's what people turn to. That'll make matters worse. Just don't do that. Here's a quote from the American Institute of Stress. Over time, stress hormones will weaken your immune system and reduce your body's response to foreign invaders. People under chronic stress are more susceptible to viral illnesses like the flu and the common cold, as well as other infections. Stress can also increase the time it takes for you to recover from illness or an injury, end of quote. So let's get to that real quick topic where they were saying, you know, a lot of stress, long-term stress can age your immune system. So according to the University of Southern California, stress accelerators of the immune system created to age. So stress and traumatic events, like we're experiencing now, can impact the immune system and increase the risk of it getting sick. Now, some of the infections listed in the study were you could get more frequent colds and flu viruses. You can have cardiovascular diseases, and also cancer was on their list. Well, so the study was published in the June 2022 Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. But science also is reporting that our immune system profile can weaken when we age. So a key to keep the immune system strong is to have healthy bones, because the bone marrow makes the blood cells that are part of your immune system. Now, according to the university study, blood is affected under stress and becomes what science describes as worn-out white blood cells, which means you have fewer blood cells for the immune system to use. So the white blood cells actually make your killer T cells to neutralize diseases. So, and they also, the thymus gland is also involved in helping your immune system cells to destroy disease. So your glandular networks involved in your immunity. Here's another quote from the American Institute of Stress. They say, people who experience more stress tend to have poor diet and exercise habits, partly explaining why they have more accelerated immune aging. So we want to watch the lifestyle. It's important. So we're going to recap real quick. To avoid stressing the immune system and to help us cope better with stress, there are some key elements we can, you know, improve and implement, such as healthy diet. You want to avoid those fast foods, convenient foods, and eat more fruits and vegetables. You want to regular exercise because it helps your hormones and it helps you handle stress better. And also medicinal herbs. Various herbs can strengthen the body and your immune system. So those are three keys that you can implement pretty easily. These are within your power to do. You know what? I can tell on the phone when I talk to people who's proactive and who is not. So here are my herbal picks. You want herbs for glands, including the thymus. You want the mullein tincture and the adrenal gland formula. You want herbs for your bones. You want plant-based calcium, so you want to look at the calcium formula. Herbs for your immune support, echinacea, astragalus root, garlic, some other things. So look for immune booster, astragalus root tincture, adult echinacea, echinacea deluxe, my three amigos, all-in-one tonic, pneumonia kit, pandemic kit. You got tools. Okay, Body Foundation Food Mix, it's a plant-based, non-synthetic vitamin, mineral, amino acid, and protein mix. Going to rock your world. Herbs for anxiety and depression, valerian root, and look for that, and the emotional stress formula and the relaxation formula. Herbs for cardio, so heart cholesterol blood pressure formula, hawthorn berry tincture, motherwort tincture, circulation formula, heart attack pack. How about herbs for reproductive system, fertility, and low T, the female cycle balancer, the female fertility formula, or the female maturity, as well as the male hormone formulas are going to be awesome. Also, herbs for digestion and stomach, like your fennel tincture, peppermint tincture, ginger, and gentian root. Now, all these herbs and more are available at the folks at Apothecary Herbs. You can visit their website, thepowerherbs.com, or you can give them a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972, thepowerherbs.com. And right now, you'll save 25% with their fall wellness sale on orders of $50 or more. Use coupon code 22FALL, but you want to hurry because the sale ends on October 1st and restrictions apply. So order early for the best selection and availability. And you can get a free product catalog while you're there. I can see by the clock we're going to have to scoot, do our little break, and we'll be right back with more.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
If you have have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010 or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Thanks for the bouncy music, Frank. Frank knows I like bouncy music. Oh, I like a slow dance every once in a while, but you know. Yeah, mellow stuff's good. But I like to tap my feet. Okay, we're gonna talk about something that's interesting. We may have touched on it before. Frank, let me ask you this. Do you think the people in general, the public trust, is as strong as it was, let's say, 40 or 50 years ago in doctors and medicine, or do you think it's not as strong? Do you think people trust their doctors just as much today than they did when your grandparents were parents? What do you think? Well, I think they're not. And there's been some articles, though, where physicians are trying to determine why patients do not trust them like they did a generation or two ago. So there was an article in the February 2015 issue of the Physicians Weekly they were making politics kind of the scapegoat for a lack of trust. But it's really all about, it's really not all about government healthcare, is it? Not really. Why would scientific medicine want to track prescription compliance through technology? Because people don't want to take the medications. And why do physicians threaten to discontinue seeing patients who don't comply with the drug therapy? And why are there a growing number of physicians, you know, restructuring their practices to eliminate government health care and medical insurance as a form of payment? There's reasons for this. Government interference could be the straw that is breaking the camel's back with health care, but a system that's based on punishment and rewards instead of actual wellness creates ethical conflict. And this is frustrating. And this is why patients and doctors are looking for alternatives. Here is a quote from Barack Obama. He says, "Doctors have financial incentive to do more surgeries." Well, especially if you're going to do socialized healthcare where you only give them a flat rate on stuff and tell them how much they can make, well, then they're going to try to make up for the loss by scheduling unnecessary surgeries, see. Well, let's look at the medical doctors, how they're rationalizing this. This was according to a Physicians Weekly publication. The public is losing trust in medical doctors because, here are some of the reasons they listed, the system is driven by profit. There is no personal bond anymore between patient and doctors. Doctors really don't listen to patient concerns because they really don't care or don't have time. Or patients are not honest with their physicians, and this impacts the quality of care. On the list was third parties are making the medical decisions regarding treatment plans now. TV commercials have patients asking their doctors for the wrong medications. And the Affordable Care Act has created document mandates, new computer hardware, making care more complicated, burdensome, and restrictive on the time spent with patients. Also, patients feel doctors are more concerned about the mandate penalties and the digital healthcare records than the patient themselves. Also, doctors have to see more patients per day to compensate for the cut in the insurance reimbursements and also the negative media reports on corruption and greed in the healthcare industry. These are all impacting and kind of really have a different perspective on how we see our doctors and our healthcare system. So are there any ethnic differences? Well, according to the U.S. National Library of Medicine and National Institute of Health, a survey in 2007 showed that lower socioeconomic status, defined as lower income, lower education, and no health insurance, was associated with higher levels of physician distrust in the United States. And that research also suggests that men distrust doctors more than women do. I agree with that. Do you agree with that, Frank? I know more men that say, "I don't like going to the doctor. I don't like it. Stay away from them." Yeah. Well, a majority of guys, talking with guys over the years, they were like, "Well, I don't really like to go to the doctor because I'm worried you'll find something." So they really don't even like to go get their checkup, you know, their annual checkup. Well, and there was an international survey. This is according to the International Health Survey. They said Americans are the least trusting of the medical profession worldwide. Least. The survey published its finding in the 2014 New England Journal of Medicine. This is before COVID. I wonder what the stats would be now, you know, if they did it again. Now, they reported that the Americans are suspicious, quote, suspicious of doctors. Their findings were based on a global survey done between 2011 and 2013 that involved 29 countries. The results showed that 58% of Americans say they trust their doctors, while 42% say they do not. So the United States was, you know, tied with Croatia. Speak of the devil there, what we're going on with Croatia here. So Croatia and the United States, we don't trust our medical doctors that much. Here's a quote from Michael Gustamino. He's a Hastings Center New York Research Institute. He says, skepticism of the medical profession hasn't happened without any reason. Experts point to the communication of American medicine as the key to damaging the relationships between doctors and patients. Also, decades of data on the American public trust in institutions in general has declined. Right. So imagine having a government-run healthcare system. Isn't that what we have almost? If you don't trust the government, are you going to trust the healthcare system? Probably not. Now, of course, you know, this influence on your pharmaceutical companies also have on doctors with monetary rewards for pushing their product has also kind of factored in to why Americans are weary overall. Now, I have a neighbor, or I did have a neighbor before I moved, who was a highly paid pharmaceutical drug representative. They were pushing a lot of respiratory drugs, and she tends to travel. Her thing is, you know, to vacation in Italy, and she'd go twice a year to Italy. Now, according to the CDC study, in August 2014, hospitals that have a strong connection with the manufacturers of baby formula do not encourage expecting mothers to breastfeed. Now, my neighbor, when she was dealing with respiratory drugs, they were for neonatal intensive care purposes. Now, other factors such as the constant fear-mongering of epidemics, you know, that has been wearing on us, hasn't it? All these protocols make people, you know, do certain things. The medical establishment, you know, wear a mask, all that stuff. Now, another CDC poll found 50% of Americans don't think their hospital is equipped to safely deal with pandemics. So I don't know about your local hospital. Now, they've been closing rural hospitals left and right in certain areas of the world. Now, the other area of medicine that is controversial is that more Americans are declining to get vaccinated because they don't think they're safe. So when they were asked, Americans state they don't trust the scientific research on the vaccine. Here is a quote from Adam Wagstaff, economic researcher for the World Bank. Ooh, World Bank. He says, at the end of the day, it's the editorial and the peer review processes in medical journals which need strengthening. Medical journals are having problems judging the quality and the empirical science. Well, that's because they're, Mr. Adam, these journal articles are just ads for the drug companies. There are a lot of them, over 50% of them, according to scientific researchers and experts, are fraud. So even your doctors aren't trusting a lot of what they're reading in their own journals. And that's sad, because if you take the drugs away, what tools do your doctors have? They can't trust the drugs. What are they going to do? So they did some research. This is the Physicians for the National Health Program on trust, physician trust. It was academic research. They looked at a bunch of journal articles from pharmaceutical giants like Eli Lilly, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, and others. And they were asking doctors if they were skeptical about the reported findings. Now, physicians are concerned about the failure to disclose important findings that can impact the outcome. So that tells me doctors are thinking things are withheld within the research and not being told everything about the new drugs. which they're not far off. Sorry, I pushed my button in. I didn't mean to, Frank. So we got these journal articles, and they're saying there is clearly a conflict of interest that can put patients at risk, and the journal articles aren't revealing everything. The doctors know this. They suspect it. Areas of recent concern have involved medications for pain, depression, and cardiovascular health. But what are physicians to do when they have serious doubts about the drug tools that they have to use? Well, physicians and patients know that the money stakes are pretty high in the drug companies and also in the medical journal industry. So this puts doctors and patients in the middle, and patients have to figure out where their doctor stands on these very important matters. If you can pull it out of them. Shannon Brown-Lee, physicians for the National Health Program, says this: more than 60% of the clinical studies involving human subjects are funded by pharmaceutical and biotech industries. This means that the studies published in scientific journals, which are critical references to medical professionals determining treatments, are increasingly designed and controlled and ghostwritten by the pharmaceutical marketing department rather than the academic scientists, end of quote. It's fraud. It's a big ad. It has nothing to do with observational science, double-blind gold standard studies. That's the problem. And she said here, over 60%, and she wrote that in 2008. You know, Houston, we have a problem is an understatement. So basically, there's really no relationships that can survive without trust. We know this. So whether it is a case of trust between best friends, spouses, or countries, trust is required. Therefore, it is no different when it comes to your doctor. Either you trust him or her and their advice, or you don't. Now, according to the National Institute of Health, trust has long been recognized as a fundamental component of the physician to patient relationship. That's true. So when government compliance trumps what is in the best interest of the patient, the relationship is going to be at risk. Patients can sense the dishonesty and the fraud. So if patients do not believe their physician is working in their best interest, there arises distrust, right? Mm-hmm. We have come to an impasse, is what you have. So if patients believe physicians are no longer in control of their health care and they're being controlled by the government, then this explains the decline in trust. This isn't rocket science. This is what's going on. So the National Institute of Health has reported on the list of reasons why patient trust has been declining over the past 40 years. The ACA seemed to be a real tipping point, the Affordable Care Act, that's what ACA is. It's a real tipping point. It's a trend that actually started back in the 70s. Yeah. So let's look at, here is a list. They say larger medical centers are focusing on growing than managed care sectors for patient best interests. So they're looking for bigger profits, and I think patients are noticing that. Also, disclosures of unethical medical research is an issue for patients and doctors. How about the public's increased accessibility to medical information on the Internet? People are educating themselves. They're asking their doctor questions. See, I don't think it's ever been in the history of modern healthcare where patients are asking their doctors more questions than they are today. They are. They're getting on the Internet. They're researching topics. They're asking their doctors, well, what do you think of this? Don't you think it's this? And I had an experience just the other day with a family member, wound up in the emergency room, and they were running tests, and they couldn't figure it out. And I'm like saying, well,
it's sounds to me, the symptoms is just screaming to me, it's gallbladder. But you know what? They dismissed it because the person was under 40 years of age. And I'm thinking to myself, what? I mean, I know 30 people under 30 that had gallbladder attacks and they had their gallbladders removed. Now, I'm not saying I wanted the family member's gallbladder removed. No. But I'm just saying how they dismissed that possibility and didn't look into it because of the age of the patient. I was like, whoa. But it turned out to be okay. The person was discharged in a few hours, and they still haven't determined what it was. They thought maybe it was a viral gut, you know, thing, or a kidney stone. Those are the two things they were thinking it was. But I'm saying vomiting and diarrhea, it says gallbladder to me. But what do I know? I'm just a humble herbalist. Okay, on the list also, there's a growing publicity of medical errors, also malpractice, fraud, and abuse within the system that people are hearing about. Also, the dark past of medical experiments and discrimination on ethnic groups, also in the back of people's minds, and a little research into the ethics and care-related distrust factor at this point. Yeah, so these are kind of the things that are, you know, forming this relationship now between patient and doctors. Now, I'm not saying all doctors are bad. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the system is creating this problem. And the doctors are kind of swept up in it and are in the middle, and so are the patients. And doctors that are being proactive and kind of, you know, toning it down, going to smaller practices, you know, getting rid of the middleman, the insurance company, if you will, they're able to spend more time with their patients. They don't have to worry about if they're going to get paid by the government or the health or the insurance industry. They're getting self-paid patients come in to pay them. It's going back to when healthcare was affordable. You can pay out of pocket. So, you know, doctors were part of the most trusted profession. Yep. They were followed by postal workers, teachers, and firemen. Remember when you're growing up, everybody looked up to these people? And if doctors are no longer taking the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm, this could also send a message to patients, unlike physicians, who do not think such an oath is outdated and old-fashioned. No, it's real important. And, you know, what else was also standing on the Hippocratic Oath that we know of, right? That happened in Germany, World War II, right? Do you know what I'm talking about, Frank? I think he does. Anyway, a lot of you out there know what I'm talking about. Nuremberg Code, yeah, that's it. That Nuremberg Code stood on the Hippocratic Oath. That's the basis of it. Okay, first, do no harm. Here is a quote from Shannon Brownlee again, physicians for the National Health Program. She says, "What are patients to do with the knowledge that much of what is passed off as science in medicine is nothing more than a medical lingo marketing scheme? Patients need to be asking a lot of questions," end of quote. I agree with you, Shannon. And they are. And that's why it's kind of it's unsettling to some of these physicians. And the new physicians coming in, they're not really keen on face-to-face visits. They like the virtual visits through the computer. You know, they like those things. See? Can you imagine not being seen, not being examined, and they write you a prescription, and you just go pick it up at the pharmacy? Can you imagine the mistakes that can happen with that? Right? And there are a lot of institutions in America going through a lot of transitions, and healthcare is just one of them. So doctors are kind of trying to ditch the government-influenced healthcare if they can, if they want to control the care of their patients, you know, get back to real care. However, aside from your trauma care and your medical establishment offers a lot of drug and surgery, so it's just disease management. I think trauma care is where they shine. Now, these are very evasive procedures and very toxic procedures, prescription drug therapy and surgery, as you know. And patients need to ask a lot of questions and scrutinize a lot of those treatments that are recommended to them. So there's a lot of unnecessary surgeries, and there's a lot of medications that are not good for you. So if you're one of those people that are looking for something else, and here's the other question, you know, what if we get to a situation where you can't get trauma care, you can't get this kind of care, what are you going to do? You better be knowledgeable of what you can do and replace of all that. What'd you say, Frank? That is how it's been since the 1980s. They just used to go to the trouble of pretending to give a damn about their patients. Thank you, Frank, for that narrative. I tell people be proactive. It's so important. We live in times where you have to know. You have to be educated and know what you can do for yourself in the event you can't get prescription drugs or emergency room health care. No, you should be knowledgeable what you can do. And you can do a lot. A lot of people don't realize they have medicinal tools God's put here for the service of man, the healing of the nations, according to his word, that are powerful, because drug companies, when they first started making drugs, took chemicals from herbs. And if they weren't great, and if they were impotent, why did the drug companies even bother? Well, it's because they are powerful, see, and they are beneficial. And when you get them in their whole food state, they work completely and utterly in perfect chemistry that God put in there, and you don't have to worry about the side effects. They're gentle and effective. And science is finding out a lot of what God did is spot on, and we have a really great immune system if we don't muck it up. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have immune-boosting formulas, organ cleansing, metabolic strengthening. That's their specialty. And these are all professional strength grade. So this is what your practitioner would sell you, but you can buy direct. Their website is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, or you can give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. And don't forget, they're having their fall wellness sale, and it's 25% off orders of $50 or more. Runs through October 1st. You want to use the coupon code 22FALL. Use it on the website, over the phone, or on your mail-in catalog order form. So you got lots of ways to save and stock up. Get your cold and flu stuff. Get your cleanses out of the way before the holidays. Transition off of medicines with metabolic strengtheners. You've got tools. And I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure a disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.